It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello and welcome to the Wisden Cricket T20 World Cup Daily Podcast. A pulsating encounter at the MCG between Pakistan and India, filled with tactical intrigue, ebb and flow, high quality pace, brave counter-attacking batting, an incredible finish, and at the end of it all, India come out on top in one of the greatest T20 World Cup games ever played. With me to discuss that classic and Sri Lanka's victory over Ireland is ESPN Cricket Info's Matt Roller and Wisden India Head of Content Abhishek Mukherjee for his podcast debut. Abhishek, welcome. That really was quite something.
Yeah, it was something. I'm still reeling under this. I mean, trying to process the batting in the 18th and 19th over and that mad last over. I'm still trying to process what happened.
Yeah, it's incredible. I don't really know where to start. So I think let's just kind of work backwards and see where we get to. Peter Miller asks, what do we just watch? Matt, that finish, have you ever seen anything like it?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably up there in terms of most dramatic last overs in that every single ball, if you sort of isolated the single funniest or craziest thing that could possibly have happened, I think you would have, you know, even with the wildest imagination, you would have done well to script something like that. I think at various points, it felt like Pakistan were nailed on to win. Then even after single balls had been bowled, you know, sort of desperately trying to work out what happens when the stumps are hit on a free hit, whether it's a dead ball or whether India had just scored three crucial runs, all that sort of thing. And yeah, it was just a completely crazy game. Which was, yeah, I think it felt like T20 at its best, I guess, because it, you know, obviously it's a short format, but the whole game took about 4 hours, gradually built towards this unbelievable conclusion. And there were so many points in that run chase, especially where we're sort of very slowly going one way or the other, swinging back between the ascendancy, swinging back between India and Pakistan. And then suddenly you had all these last minute oscillations and just the sheer drama of the last over was, yeah, quite something. And I'm not really sure what a fitting result would have been, but it felt pretty good when Ashwin chipped the last ball over mid off to seal the win. So I think it was one of the great T20 games, and I think one of the great innings as well from Virat Kohli, given the hole India were in after after 6.1 overs. They were 31 for 4, I think, when Axel Patel slightly comically ran himself out. And just the sort of the gradual slow build was quite something to witness, especially the launch at the end. And I think those two sixes off Harris Ralph, I think particularly the first one, which he drilled back over his head with some incredible contortion of his body, is a shot that will live on in my memory, at least for quite a long time.
Yeah, it's crazy to think that it was only a couple of weeks ago when people were sort of questioning whether Virat Kohli was in India's best 11, wondering whether he'd ever hit an international century again. And now that might well have been his best ever innings. Let's talk about that last over then, because in a way, Abhishek, the game kind of hinged not just obviously on what happened in the over, but on the decision about when Babur would bowl Nawaz. So they went into what, the last six overs with five overs from Shaheen, Nasim and Ralph in the bank, and then that was the one left over. He ends up bowling the last over, and to be honest, I can't really, I almost can't remember it, but I can't tell if it was a good over or not in terms of, you know, he got Hardik Pandya out, he got Dinesh Kartik stumped, so it looked like Pakistan had lost, but he also bowled that no ball. But from a tactical point of view, did Babur get that right, do you think, holding him back? Or is it just one of those where some days it will work, some days it won't?
Essentially, after that three sixes over, that 12th over, incidentally, the 12th over of each innings went for three sixes, and both were bowled by left-arm spinners. So essentially, it was probably a decision made up at the break or something. But it is a very difficult choice to give. It would have been very difficult to give Nawaz another over, because had there been another 20-run over, India would have simply had that asking rate somewhere around 8, 8.5, and then they would have, it would have been in more of Kohli's ODI territory. India would still have probably won it, but it would have been in a familiar territory. It would not have been this. The last over, I don't know. Apart from that full toss, I don't think Nawaz actually bowled poorly. He conceded 1-6, and that was it. No other boundary. I mean, how often do we see a 16-run over conceding a 6 and no other boundary? I mean, how often do we see three byes being run off a ball that hits the wicket? The overs before him went for 16 and 16. This one, we can hardly blame the bowler. But regarding the decision to hold him back, I think India would have gone after Nawaz a lot earlier had Akshar been there. That was the reason to promote him, because India had lost three wickets, but Pakistan had also used up six of their 12 overs of fast bowling. And of the remaining eight, they had remaining 14 overs, eight had to be from spinners, and both spinners spun the ball into Akshar. So that was, it was a calculated risk. So that was why he was promoted. He got the bowler. I mean, over seven was bowled by Shadab, and he just lasted one ball. So he would have gone after, my instinct is he would have gone after the spinners a lot earlier.
Yeah, it's kind of a final passage that defies analysis from some points of view. So let's go back to the beginning. And Ashdeep Singh, who seemed like he was going to be sort of the story of the game for a bit, and then kind of all hell broke loose. But Matt, of all the players in that 11, he's the least experienced, and the least you'd sort of say is like a nailed on like megastar. But he was brilliant with the new ball, wasn't he? How good is he? How good could he be? How important is he to the India team?
Yeah, well, it's a fair question, I think. Obviously, Harshal Patel got left out of the team today and has been sort of quite a key part of India's T20 side for a while. So it's clearly quite a big call. I know it was probably more Shami that squeezed him out than Ashdeep, but it's still a big decision to back a young guy who's not played a huge amount of international cricket with the new ball. And yeah, to dismiss Babur and Rizwan, I think they managed four between them off 13 balls, which is the fewest runs they've ever managed in an opening partnership together, which is quite something, and speaks to just how well he bowled, I think, especially the first ball. He sort of set the field for the short ball with deep fine leg and deep backward square out, and went full and straight. It was quite kind of reminiscent, you know, maybe 5 kilometres an hour slower, but of Shaheen's spell in Dubai last year. To bounce out Rizwan, I think for someone who's clearly not a sort of express pace seamer, to have found the extra bounce that he did and get the top edge down to, Bhuvi, I think it was, on the boundary. Yeah, it bowled really well. And it all feels like a long time ago that happened. I must say, at the time of recording, feels like a completely different game where Ashdeep was taking the new ball. But he did really well. I thought India actually, for the most part, much as Pakistan sort of probably got a few more than they would have liked, I thought they bowled pretty well for the vast majority of the game. It was clearly a sort of a big turning point when Iftikhar decided to take down Akshar, and I think it'll be a really interesting thing to see whether he could keep doing that through the comp, because he's traditionally not got the best numbers against spin, but clearly, you know, we've seen he took down Adil Rashid pretty well when England were in Pakistan recently. And we saw tonight as well that he clearly has the power to, I think he hit 197 meter six off Aksha. So it tells you how powerful he is. But yeah, for the most part, I thought India actually bowled pretty well. And much as it was kind of a strange first innings in that, it obviously ebbed and flowed as it often does, but I think both teams would probably have taken it at the start, where Pakistan were pretty happy to get what looked like about par. And India, given that batting has been their strong suit in the year coming into this World Cup and they don't have Jasprit Bumrah in their side, I think they would be relatively happy to have restricted them to what they did as well.
Yeah, there's loads and lots of players who haven't mentioned. I mean, Nasim was really, really good with the ball. Iftikhar, as you say, he was good. Masood also made that 50 and that sort of Babar Rizwan insurance role, I guess. You had Shaheen and Ralph hitting some fun sixes at death. Shami and Hardik were both really good with the ball. But Matt, you want to talk about Harris Ralph with the ball in particular?
Yeah, well, he obviously got absolutely nailed at the end. But I thought for the most part, he was brilliant. And I think it's one of those interesting ones where it quite quickly becomes a case that after a certain amount of time, you would always think that the key battles to watch in this game, you would be thinking about Shaheen Afridi versus Rohit or whatever. But actually, Harris Ralph has had such a quick rise that he almost, you know, given Shaheen's coming back from a long-term or medium-term injury and probably didn't look 100%, I would say. You know, he wasn't quite hitting the speeds that he can when he's fully fit and in rhythm. He just looked a little bit not quite there for whatever reason. It almost felt like Harris was the main guy. And then I thought that battle in particular with Suryakumar Yadav, he's obviously been one of the informed batters in world cricket recently, particularly in T20. That felt like it was really going to define the game, I think, particularly when, India's top order had struggled. The ball was doing a lot, did a lot through both innings, actually. I think India swung it more with a new ball, but then Pakistan found a lot of seam movement early on. So for Harris to have got Rohit out and then Surya to come in and, you know, time the pants off his first ball straight back past the bowler for four, that really felt like where the game was going to be decided. So for Harris to then dismiss him fairly cheaply, I think he only made 15, that really felt like the game. But then, yeah, as you say, obviously didn't quite happen for him in the end, where he bowled a probably 22 near perfect balls across his spell, and then two right at the end that didn't go his way. And Kohli, yeah, I think you almost have to just sit back and admire the genius of a guy like that at this stage in his career. I know he's obviously, and probably entirely fairly, coming for a fair bit of criticism over the last 3 years, particularly in T20 cricket. There are clear issues with his game that have cost his team some games in the IPL and in international cricket. But when a player plays like that, and you know, it entirely vindicated his approach in the end. The result, I don't think, you know, you might not say it's the template that you'd always try and get 15 off 24 balls and accelerate, but when you see a guy timing the ball as well as Kohli did right towards the back end, particularly those back-to-back sixes off Ralph, I think you do just have to sort of bow to the genius of the guy and say this is an unbelievable player we're watching.
There's still so much we could discuss. I mean, that was the spider cam thing. We better mention Hardik Pandya, who it looked like he was going to be player of the match for quite deep into that game. Let's just the actual run out quickly. Obviously, you sort of hinted at Abhishek, where you had this. It was amazing to see a piece of cricket where kind of all of Babar Rizwan and Kohli kind of messed up. Like Kohli sort of called him through, then sent him back. Babar sort of fires the throw and kind of too hard and also wide. Rizwan then like messes the glove onto the stumps and still it's a run out. Abhishek, do you think the umpire made the right decision then? Or
A very difficult to think. I would say it was probably out, but if the umpire had ruled not out, I would have agreed with that too. I mean, I didn't see conclusive evidence either way, and this is one of those decisions, just like that no ball in the last over.
Yeah, there is a funny thing with those no balls, isn't there, where they can't actually review them off the field unless there's a wicket, I think. I think with the waist high ones, you can't review those, which is odd. And maybe they could look into it, because as you see in that instance, well, you don't want umpires reviewing everything, I guess, but it's odd, that's the one thing you kind of can't review. Anyway, that's a small point. And we should probably finish talking about India-Pakistan, because there was another game, which could be no less important in deciding who makes semi-finals. Sri Lanka easing past Ireland. Matt, Sri Lanka are weird, aren't they? Because you sort of look at the team and you think, like, you know, where are the real gun bats in here? Sort of a bit of an odds and ends kind of thing. Yet they've won 8 of the last 9. They're Asia Cup champions. Obviously had that stumble to Namibia. How good are they? Are they semi-final contenders?
I think they'll definitely be a team that the sort of, I suppose, obvious favourites in that group will be looking at with some trepidation. I think you know, any team with two spinners as talented as Tasaranga and Teek Shana, I think you're going to take pretty seriously as an opponent. I think it's a real shame actually that they have suffered as many injuries as they have during this World Cup so far, because I think that does leave them a little light in terms of the fast bowlers in particular. And I think better teams than Ireland will probably have more success against their seam attack. But I think they're a pretty solid side, and it feels increasingly like that. Namibia game was a sort of random blip that can happen in T20 cricket, rather than sort of indicative of them having any particular weakness, really. I suppose you would probably say that Sri Lanka it would be better suited to playing a World Cup elsewhere. I think that some of their batters, you might say, it could potentially get rushed and bounced out by you know, New Zealand's attack or Australia's, for example. But I think they're a pretty good side, and I think they could definitely cause a few upsets in that group. I think, yeah, obviously it's early days and it's a big call to suggest that they're going to, you know, win three of their next four games, but I think they're definitely a strong side, and I think they'll be fun to watch as much as anything. I think Hasaranga is always box office. He's always someone I try and turn on the TV when he's bowling. And yeah, I think they're a pretty good outfit. I think, yeah, looking forward to seeing what Banuka Rajapaksa can do as well, because he's a really fun guy to watch when he gets going. So yeah, be interested to track them throughout the rest of the comp.
Mm. Yeah, there were two things I noticed from this game. One was Hasaranga bowling with an incredibly low arm. He was basically in like a full-on lunge, essentially, as he bowled the ball with his back knee that bent, and also his arm only just above his shoulder. So if you think about how it was basically bowling from like almost the stump height, like not much higher than that, really, which is really interesting to see. And also just George Dockrell playing despite having tested positive for COVID, and it also not really being a story when you think that, what, less than a year ago you had Australia's captain missing an Ashes test for sitting near someone with COVID, and now you have this in an IC event, which is which is interesting almost because it's not interesting, I guess.
Apart from India, Sri Lanka are the only touring teams who have won more matches than they lost in Australia.
Well, there you go. So, yeah, what do you fancy them, Abhishek? Do you fancy Sri Lanka?
Yeah, I always fancy Sri Lanka. See, the Asia Cup also, they lost the first match. They didn't just lose. They were bowled out for 105 or something. Here also, they were bowled out for 108 or something, and nobody gave them a chance. And then they won 5 matches on the trot and went on to win the cup. Here also, I mean, they are yet to pull off a win against a major team, but I can't see why they cannot beat at least one team. Maybe if they can win against one side, why not against two? Mm-hmm. It's an unpredictable format.
Yeah, and it is interesting actually from just a team permutations who goes through sort of view. People saying yesterday Australia's win could be, or defeat, sorry, could be sort of catastrophic in terms of net run rate. Whereas if Sri Lanka are able to take wins off those top three sides in there, and you actually have sort of four sides competing and taking wins off each other, that could make quite a big difference, I suppose, in terms of Australia not being necessarily out, even if they win all their next four and that sort of thing. It's quite smart when in T20, everyone says you're always going to have one bad day, for Sri Lanka just to always get out of the way first game and then just be brilliant from then on is a pretty smart tactic. Thanks both for joining. It's been great. And yeah, if you enjoyed listening to that, please give us a nice, maybe a 5-star review on the app of your choice.
Podcast Network.